Welcome back. What's shaking? I've got some news you can use today about those situations that set you off. Today on Gritty Mystic, we're talking about our triggers, whether they pop up at home, in the office, online, or on the highway. Come on, let's get a cup of something good and do this. Welcome to Gritty Mystic, the podcast for the daring and ready to awaken the power to master and direct your life. Or as I like to call it, becoming fucking unstoppable. I'm your host, Tracy King, intuitive channel and transformational teacher, here to connect you with tips, tools, and techniques to step into your power as the most authentic you. Let's get into it. Hello, lovelies. How's it going? I'm so glad you're here because today we're talking about people who do stupid shit that sets us off. Because what the hell? Am I right? Sometimes it's that one person. Deep breath. You know who they are. Or it's that tone. Oh my goddess. I mean, no better. You best know better than to pull that tone out and direct that at me, child. Or sometimes it's a situation in general, like when you've been meticulous and descriptive and bulletproof intentional with your communication on a matter, and someone comes back at you with, oh, what are we doing again? Or better yet, you didn't say that. Clearly you do not know me. This is how you decided to come at me today? I mean, waking up and choosing violence. All right. Okay. Let's go. Likely you've got your own collection of highly polished emotional triggers. You know, those situations, large or small, that send you off, like a missed anniversary or family friction or unjust treatment or feeling excluded or disrespected. Criticism can be triggering. Or just the volatility in a relationship, you know, when you don't know whether if a person is going to be easygoing or if they're going to throw it down. Well, while researchers don't know how we form triggers, we do know that if we allow them to run on unchecked, we're in for some intense emotional chain reactions that can lead to words or actions that may be classified as regrettable. So I guess it would be best if we didn't talk about the people that trigger us so much, but spend some time identifying the triggers themselves and talking about how to put some space in between the trigger and our next move. Yeah, good idea. This episode pairs well with our last, where we talked about how emotions are data. Very important to identify what we're feeling and allow it to tell us why those emotions are surfacing in the noun moment. If you haven't heard that episode, go check that out. Today, we're taking it a step further, and we're examining the ignition point when emotions are triggered by a stimulus. So when you notice it happening, or in a lot of cases, you're reflecting about a situation that kind of jumped the rails, get curious. Put on your forensic detective hat and identify what triggered the episode. That one thing, you know, it could be a look, a comment, a behavior. It might be part of a pattern that, if you stay with it, might signal a root cause for you. Ask yourself, why does this send you? What needs to be addressed, clarified, or healed there? Does that trigger pattern reach back in your childhood, or is it a signal that you've been ignoring in your gut? Like right now, like recently. Maybe you know this relationship you're in is not so healthy, but you haven't done anything about it. It's important for us to also consider whether our triggers are serving as a mirror. Powerful stuff. For example, when you come in contact with that one person that grates your last nerve to oblivion, is there something in that person that's reflecting back to you a trait or behavior that you've been resisting addressing in yourself? You might not solve the mystery of the tragic trigger the first time around, but keep listening. Stay curious. Journal out your thoughts, your feelings, your questions, your rants, all of it. Because you're becoming conscious of it, which alone will assist you in putting a breath space in between you and cracking off next time that trigger presents, because it will. That's something we know for sure. That's the cyclical nature of healing and personal development. As Chopra says, awareness is the birthplace of possibility. So once you start to see what's happening, you can suspend your response until you've had time to choose what you want to do next. Shift from reaction zone to responsible action zone. It might just start with a crack width of space where you can decide to maybe not react right now. And over time, maybe it'll grow to a soulful space where you stand grounded in your authenticity, or, you know, where you can form a response that's in alignment with who you are and who you're becoming. So two key ideas here. One is pausing to understand your triggers so you can haul your responses out of your subconscious where that reactivity is sparked. And two, consciously choosing whether and how you're going to respond. Oh, and I'm going to add a third key idea. I got my sassy pants on today, so I officially declare that we are done, D-O-N-E, with beating ourselves up when we trip. Can we just do that? I mean, when things don't conform to plans and we huff, or when surprises come at us out of nowhere and we whiff, or when that trigger comes back around and throws us off our game, we are done punishing ourselves. Do you hear me? Because you know what? This may come as a shock, but the spiritual path is not the perfect life. That's right. It's a life of healing and reconciliation. It's a life of recognizing what does and does not belong to us so that we can drop those hot rocks that are outside of the realm of our control and yet own our own shit. It's about standing in our personal power and creating our life with intention. It's about crafting a path toward wholeness and in so doing, opening way for others. It's not about achieving perfection, my friend. It's about authenticity. It's about being. So repeat after me. My triggers are a gift. Are you repeating? My triggers are a gift. My triggers are intel on what needs to be examined within me to level up my life. You got it. So when something or someone triggers you, get excited about it. Resist the wallow and all of the, ugh, no, not again. No, don't get angry about it. Don't stew in disappointment juices that this keeps coming back up again and again and again for you. Say, hello. Hi there. I see you. What's up? What are you seeking to communicate to me about right now that I can maybe heal, reframe, address head on, or possibly bless and release? Your triggers are valuable intel, and they're invested in your growth. Welcome them, listen to them, and get ready to be amazed by the incredible insight that they bring into your life. So, you know what? I got a friend here who has great insights on tapping into our trigger intel. Let's catch up with her right now and take this to the table. Today at the table, we've got Erica Plater, who's a life path and empowerment coach, helping others ground themselves in their power and purpose so that they can reimagine and realign their life, work, and impact. And we have also got our cafe regular, April Nichols Baker, who's a founder of Aliveda, a virtual and place-based natural solutions studio passionate about cultivating mind, body, and spirit connection, supporting your wellness journey. I'm so excited you are both here today. Well, we've been talking about triggers and how they're not meant to cause fear or frustration, but instead they're invaluable intel in service of our growth and bringing even more richness into our life. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that I didn't always view triggers this way. I waged battle against them for years, trying to bat them out of my way when the entire time they were really trying to tell me exactly how to achieve what I was telling the universe I wanted. And so I am so excited to have this conversation today. And I want to start with you, Erica. I know that, you know, your personal path and in your coaching, you've seen this switch flip from combating triggers to embracing their intel. And I just wanted to know how that has shown up for you.
Well, for me, both personally and when I work with my clients, it's always interesting to watch that switch happen and that the light bulb goes off. And it actually takes time because a lot of times it's hard to identify a trigger because a trigger actually creates, you know, a subconscious reaction to a very real time and conscious situation. And so to be able to exist almost in two different spaces at the same time can be difficult for people. I'll tell you, I was one of the ones who I battled my triggers too for a long time. Oh yeah. Personally, you know, and in working with clients, I think that being able to slow down your reactions long enough to find that space between the moment the trigger begins And when the reaction itself happens in the middle, that space is really the opportunity. Like you're saying, like that's the opportunity to pause and say, why do I feel like this? Where is this coming from? What is this telling me? You know, sometimes it's hard to tell people they have to sit in the pain or be with the pain and move through the pain to find the gift or the lesson. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to do, but that's actually where the opportunity lies. I can remember a time when an ex-partner and I were having a disagreement, and he shared his thoughts with me on how his needs weren't being met, things I weren't doing, things he needed from me. And we were really struggling with all that. And I found myself instantly in tears. And I couldn't hear him anymore. And I felt myself shutting down. I had nothing else to say. I just want to go curl up in the bed somewhere.
Yep.
And it was all just a discussion about he needed something different from me. And I really couldn't understand why, like logically, intellectually, why I was reacting such a strong way to a very, not simplistic, but a normal conversation. And it took a while and a lot of personal work for me to realize that in that situation, I felt like he was blaming me. I felt like I had failed, you know, and I felt like I wasn't doing enough, or anything I did wasn't enough and it wasn't good enough for him. And I had to realize that stemmed from my own childhood.
Yeah, it feels like moments like that put us in this fight or flight space, right? It feels dangerous. It feels like we have to be on defense, or, you know, and I go on defense. Some people go on offense. And instead of like just sitting in that space, like you said, we just immediately react. And it could be the curl up and like go away, or it could be just like coming out swinging, right?
Right. I mean, it's about protection and security. So that shows up differently for each of us when those triggers happen. And, you know, I might be protecting the little girl in me who felt that way, or, you know, you might be trying to make sure you are secure at all times because maybe you didn't feel that way at another point in your life. So it shows up differently and it comes from very different sources.
For sure. How does that come up for you, April?
You know, I think it's interesting when you guys talk about the triggers and that defense mechanism that almost seems automatic. And I usually refer to it as justification, in that you don't necessarily have to always feel like you have to justify yourself, but yet we're constantly thrown into that when we have these types of conversations with your partner or whomever you may have this conflict and this trigger comes up. Automatically, we go into this justification mode.
Yeah, defending that space, right?
Right, defending how you're feeling about it. And instead of, as Eric is talking about, sitting in that space for those moments and really finding out where is this coming from.
Yeah, and that's the spot when you can, you know, program yourself to pause, that you can actually flip that switch, right? So Erica, when you're coaching your clients, how do you coach them to identify triggers? And then once they do, what they need to do with them? What's the work in that?
I say the first step really is knowing that you're being triggered. And there's two different ways you may react to triggers as you're doing your personal work. And in the very beginning, what I find to be common is that once you know you're being triggered, there's several things you can do in that moment. You can just do some really deep belly breaths before you respond in a situation to try to put yourself in a different space. You could ask clarifying questions of the other person, because sometimes you really got to check people's intention versus your perception. Those can be two different things sometimes, right? And sometimes you just remove yourself completely. And that's usually early on before a lot of the personal work happens. But I really tell them, after a situation where you feel like you've been triggered, no matter how you responded to the situation, you should actually listen to your body. Like sit, listen. Your body tells you everything you need to know about a situation. Did you have an increased heart rate, increased breathing? What were you feeling in the moment? Like what actually happened? We sit there and we break down situations and say, what happened? How did it make you feel? And like, name it. Let's put a name to it. Was it shame? Was it anxiety? Did it make you doubt yourself? What was it that you felt in the moment that that happened? So we do a lot of journaling and writing as situations happen, so that once they can identify the actual emotion, then we go to, where did that come from? What happened in your life? Do you have false beliefs around who you are? Is there imposter syndrome going on here? What is the fear that this brings forth from you of maybe not being good enough? And then we work on how do we create affirmations and how do we create language to change our narrative about who we are and how we show up in situations like that.
Oh, I love that. That, you know, just getting out of your head where all the panic is happening and just like sinking into your body, like you said, and like locate where is it in your body? Because that's telling in and of itself, right?
Yes, it is. It definitely is.
And April, I know with yoga and, you know, the practices that you teach, how does that work with you when you're encountering a trigger? Are you looking inside of your body in order to signal, you know, what's going on, what to do about it?
Oh, absolutely. And I love that, Erica, you mentioned that breathing is kind of your number one, at least it was the first one you mentioned, because that's a go-to, obviously, in yoga, and that a practice that I've adopted then into just daily life is that pausing for just that moment and taking a breath and taking that inventory first before you react to that emotional data or the physical data that you're receiving, because without that pause and without that extra oxygen, right, in that moment for yourself, we go into autopilot. And then who knows what happens after that. So absolutely utilizing the benefits of yoga and breath absolutely help with those types of things when you're in a situation where someone's triggering.
And I find that when I'm locating the feelings in my body, that's also kind of where the memory is too, of helping me understand what this trigger is connected to in my past. Is that what you find too, Erica?
Oh, I definitely do. And, you know, a lot of times chakra work becomes important when you're trying to uncover your triggers and heal the wounds that they're showing you that are still there. And that's why they're the gift, because they can show you the progress you've made in your healing journey. And they can also show you other places where you can do that healing so that you can reclaim your power in order to make different choices in your life. So chakra work has been a really important piece because it aligns with those parts of your body, you know, and it aligns with where those triggers may be felt in the body.
Yeah, I love that. And then you were talking about scripting too. What kind of scripting techniques are your go-tos?
So for me, my scripting go-tos are usually in situations where I can really feel myself not being able to manage through the trigger. I will actually let people know that I'm going to have to leave the conversation right now, and I will come back to you shortly when I'm able to collect my thoughts so that we can have a productive conversation. You know, sometimes it's just language and being able to choose language and actually say to other people, I can't actually do this right now. But I'll come back to you when I can. And that's okay to be able to say that. Sometimes we feel as though we have to handle all those situations in that moment. And we do feel like we have to defend ourselves or protect ourselves. And that's actually okay to say, I can't do this right now. I need to go and collect my thoughts, do my breathing, think through what just happened, and then be able to come to you to talk about the actual conversation and not be living in the emotions that have been triggered for me.
That's incredibly powerful. That is so powerful. And, you know, in my history of working with triggers, that really helps me when I know that in the situation I'm in, if I just pop off, then I'm going to trigger that other person and it's just going to be pop, 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 pop.
Right. Yep.
And it's actually a gift to both of us, right? To just like, let's allow this emotion to dissipate. Let's understand what's really happening. And then we can come back and actually do some problem solving. I love that so much.
And the second thing then is also doing the opposite of what your first reaction is going to be. Because your first reaction might be pop, pop, pop. So if you go the opposite direction and do something opposite of what you feel like you naturally should do when you're triggered, that actually usually is the more healthy and more beneficial avenue to go anyway.
For sure. For sure. So in your work, Erica, where do you see people getting bogged down in this process? And what can we do to flip our script?
You know, I think the one area I see folks get bogged down a lot is actually expecting a trigger to disappear completely after you've done the work to heal that particular wound. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, because, you know, a lot of times those triggers are from places that where there was probably some form of trauma that happened that changed our psyche or our belief system, or even some of our personality traits, you know, because everything is so intricately woven together for us. And, you know, the goal is to actually make sure that the part of you that has been healing and that's doing the work to heal become stronger and more present than the hurt. But the hurt will always be there, you know? And that's one of the mistakes we make about this journey, this healing journey, is that it's a lifelong journey. The work we do to heal and reclaim our power doesn't actually end. And so even when it comes to triggers, you'll get better at going from, say, journaling and doing your affirmations and your meditations, doing it for weeks or months on end to get to a place where you feel like you're better and you're healed. You'll go from that to being able to take all that information and the ways that you've been able to find the opportunity in the middle, be able to do that in 3 seconds. And that's really the goal, is to not have to do the journaling and the meditating for the months to get to, oh, now this is why I know I was triggered. Okay, this is where it comes from. And then this is how I handle it in the future. You condense that into those 3 seconds when it's happening to be able to be present and conscious enough to make a different choice about how you handle the situation and how you handle the trigger, so that you're not giving up your power to your emotions and to the trigger, but you're actually in control of how you handle it, regardless of the place that the trigger touches that's hurtful for you.
Yeah, I love that. So that's what mastery looks like. It doesn't look like I'm going to have amnesia about things that have happened in my past.
Right.
but I'm going to continue to stand in my power, and I won't react. My next step, my next statement is going to be intentional and purposeful.
That is very true. That's it exactly. And to know that you always are the one in control of your emotions and of those triggers and of those situations, that you always have the power to make a different choice.
I love that.
That really resonates with me, Erica, when you say that. Yeah, the work is never really over. It's simply you become more adept at it. And because the triggers are constantly represented to give you the opportunity to make your choice.
Yes. And it shows you your progress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, April, you and I were just talking recently about how sometimes those triggers come back around.
Oof.
And how you were just having a conversation now that you've reflected upon that process in your life with a kiddo who is experiencing that. And what a gift for us to stand in our experience of seeing that cyclical work, to be able to pass that on and, you know, coach a kiddo to manage it as well.
Indeed. I believe the words I used were, you don't have to attend to every argument you're invited to.
Yeah. No, very true. I'm going to steal that one, April.
Yeah, you honestly don't have to participate. And Erica, you were talking about that just a few minutes ago, where you have control. And I think it's interesting when we have that reaction that you have to respond to somebody right now, where you were stating, giving yourself that boundary and that moment to say, and that permission to say, I can't do this right now. And it's difficult for people to give you that space. That can be triggering in and of itself, but it's the gift that you're giving to you and them, because you're being honest and saying, I can't do this. I don't want to argue, you know, and you have permission to walk away and take a few moments and come back at it. And that does not seem to be our culture, our society. You're supposed to be able to react right now to me, right now.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head, is we don't give ourselves permission to put ourselves first, to put our emotions first, to make sure we feel comfortable, that we feel secure before we enter into situations or disagreements that may trigger us, or that may be difficult for us for various reasons. And I've come to learn in my own personal life that that's actually okay. That's me loving myself. And that's me showing other people that I love myself. And so I think that has to become more of our norm.
Agreed.
Absolutely. I love that so much about just you have permission, okay? Like, bumper sticker on my forehead, because I bring that into relationships, into, you know, family life, into my work even. And I get an email, I'm like, oh no, you did not word it that way. And like, I'm just going to mark this unread. I'm going to take my breaths. Mm-hmm. It might be a few hours, but I give myself permission to not be in a reactive space and bring my best self to that situation.
There it is.
There it is. Bring your best self.
Mm-hmm. That's it right here. Yeah, that's wisdom. Yeah. So Erica, tell me what you're excited about this year. What you got coming up?
Oh, well, my website, I have a new website that is launching, and I am going to be starting a few book discussion series with women about reclaiming their power. And, you know, I love being a personal hype woman for anyone who needs it. So I'm all for having those kind of empowerment conversations. So I'm just excited. I'm excited about spring. I'm excited about what spring means around renewal and rejuvenation. And I just think it's going to be a great year. And I'm excited for the Gritty Mystic, too.
I appreciate that. Yeah, this is so much fun. And this topic is so personal and powerful for me because I can see so much of my journey, just the stalls, you know, in my journey being completely tied to how I was embattling my triggers instead of embracing them. And so I just love that we can just start with this conversation. This is where we have to dig in, do the work, and really level up this year, really bring more magic into our year.
I would completely agree with you. It really is all about, I was actually talking to a friend of mine about magic, because that's come up a lot for me recently, is believing in magic, creating your own magic. You know, what does magic mean to me as an adult? Because I talk to my kids a lot about the holidays, when the holidays were here, and, you know, we have to create our own magic as you get older around the holidays. Well, that kind of is the same thing around your life. And really thinking of magic differently. And magic is about healing, and magic is about embracing those triggers, and magic is about manifesting the life you want. So I love that you're talking about magic in that way. And I'm excited for all of that in the spring.
Yes, yes. So much going to happen. So much birth. Well, thank you both so much for hanging out with us today and sharing your insights. I mean, if someone wants to get in touch with you, Erica, how can they find you?
The best way is through the website, which is www.groundwellcollective.com. And the email address is just erica@groundwellcollective.com.
Excellent. And we'll put that information in the show notes as well. And also a special thanks and shout out to Elevata. Be sure to check them out too. Elevata's focus is inward. It's meeting people where they are and joining them in their individual wellness journey, focusing on that powerful connection of body, mind, and spirit. So you can learn more about them as well at alivata.com. So what do you think? Are there some triggers that keep popping up and asking for your attention? Well, jump in the comments right now and share your thoughts, your tips. Want to hear those too, and questions to join our conversation. And as you know, there's more Gritty goodness to come. So grab a friend and bring them next time. Until then. Thanks for joining us today on Gritty Mystic. You can find me and show notes for this episode at grittymystic.com/episodes. And thank you so much for subscribing, rating, and reviewing our show. It helps us reach others like us and grow the Gritty Mystic community. Take care, friend. See you next time.